Hi, I'm Dr. Len Horowitz, and this is the Inside Hour.
And I'm Sherry Kane.
We come to you every week on bbsradio.com. It's a pleasure to join you at midnight on the East Coast, 9 o'clock Pacific time, here in beautiful Hawaii. It is 6 p.m., and we have a special guest tonight. But before we get to that special guest, and very, very interesting topic for discussion tonight, fairly revealing for those of you particularly who are engaged in the Patriot Movement or the people who are involved in truth-telling, truth-seeking, 9/11 truths included. We have a real special program for you tonight, so stay tuned. Sherry, what about sponsors? Thanks for sponsoring.
Yes, thank you so much, Healthy World Store, for your amazing products that keep people healthy all through the year. Thank you to HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. If you're not an affiliate, you can sign up today at HealthyWorldAffiliates.com. It's free. You get your own website, and you can get commission on any product that you purchase or that you refer to others. Also, check out 528records.com. If you're a musician, you can upload your music to 528records.com, and anyone who pays to donate for your music gets 60% royalties. And we also have 528radio.com. And to keep it going, we appreciate all of your donations.
Yes, indeed. And thanks also to Asheville Magazine. They're a wonderful resource for a lot of alternative material, both in the metaphysical realm and also in the truth-seeking and truth-telling realm. Well, tonight, Sherry, I wonder if you want to introduce our guest.
Yes, we have a very special guest tonight. Her name is Melinda Kellogg, and she was formerly married to Jeff Rentz, who is a radio personality. And Melinda's going to tell us some things tonight that she had in her personal relationship with Jeff that many of you may not have known about him. We can tell you that we've had our own personal experiences with Jeff behind the scene, and he has betrayed us as his friends. We were friends with him. We came to him for help. He had published other things from us, many things from us before regarding the Rockefellers and the Bushes and the Rothschilds. But when it came to the COINTELPRO that were attacking us, he refused to help us. And we could not understand why that would be. He claimed that he was fearing for his own daughter's life, and his daughter was young and he lived with her, and he was scared that these guys were going to come and harm her. So he made up these things, we found out later. He's also forwarding libel from the COINTELPRO, libel about Len and I all over the internet. He's forwarding it to others. He forwarded it to Melinda, and he has no reason to do that. He's also making claims, personal claims about me, stating that, for instance, I stole your wife from you. And we need to clarify all of those things here because I'm sure
there's interesting
people,
evening.
Yeah, yes,
and it's
exactly.
Really not just about our personal lives. It's not about that. It's not a show about let's getting back at Jeff Rentz for what he's done. It's really about serving you, the folks at home, who have no clue that some of your leaders, your respected heroes in the truth-telling realm, are actually very, very strange and worse than strange. They are complicit with COINTELPRO, FBI, National Security Agency, and Central Intelligence Agency in conducting war on the public's mind. And so this is a program tonight that's very, very interesting. I think you'll get a lot of details about background, about somebody who, like Sherry said, stuck a dagger in my back, couldn't believe it.
And you gave him an award.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you more about that
anyway,
as the show goes
on. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Melinda.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great.
Good. Under the circumstances, we're all doing great. How are you doing?
Well, under the circumstances, I'm okay. Thank you.
Good. Well, welcome to the Inside Hour, and thank you so much for sharing your story about what is going on in your life. I mean, you were married to a fellow who is at the forefront, kind of like as Alex Jones is, but there was a relationship between Jeff Rentz and Alex Jones, and I'm sure you know more about that than we do. But, you know, they're heroes. They're considered American heroes in the truth-telling realm. And yet, you know, you, better than we, have had a personal experience of Jeff. So thank you for sharing that tonight.
You're welcome. And I'd also like to throw in David Icke into that mixture because he sort of plays into what I would like to talk about tonight. And let me just first introduce myself to your audience. So my name is Melinda Kellogg. And, again, I am Jeff Rentz's latest ex-wife. After some research, I discovered I was ex-wife number 7, so I'm not the first ex-wife to have been betrayed by Jeff. I have a website, and we'll probably discuss in this hour why I have a website. My website itself answers this question. If you Google Jeff Rentz and then Melinda, that's spelled M-E-L-I-N-D-A, my website will come right up. And so anything that you want to know about this situation, about me, about Jeff Rentz is on that page. Okay, so I married Jeff Rentz a year and a half ago, and he presented himself to me. I'd been listening to him for a couple of years. I wasn't into the conspiracy scene at all. I'm not even sure if I knew who Alex Jones was back then. I was actually a Larry Sinclair supporter, and Jeff was the first person to interview Larry Sinclair, and that's how I heard Jeff. And he has a very beautiful voice, and I was rather taken by it, and I continued to listen to him for a few years. After 2.5 years, I found out he was single, and I emailed him, and we hit it off immediately. We had this amazing romance. We felt like we were soulmates. I lived on the East Coast. He lived on the West Coast. But we fell in love, and everything I wanted and everything he wanted seemed to mesh perfectly. We would talk on the phone for hours every single day. We could not wait to get married. And I have all of his emails. I printed out his emails at the time, and he wanted me to. He called it our book. He called it the book. So I have just literally a ream of emails of this man being in love with me, us working out practical details of living together. And I have a PhD in physics, and I was a physics professor. I was an assistant professor of physics in Virginia. And I came out, and we hit it off, and we got married. And I then went back home. I quit my job. I sold my house, sold my car, and I moved out to be with Jeff. And after I'd moved out to be with him, he completely changed. It was literally a Dr. Jekyll and a Mr. Hyde situation. And I was in utter and complete shock. And that's how I learned the true nature of Jeff Rentz. And I did not mean to. I'm going to jump way ahead here. I had no intention of coming out with my story. That was completely accidental. It happened 4 months ago. But now that I've come out, I feel very, very strongly that it's important to know the truth about these men like Jeff Rentz and David Icke. I don't know Alex Jones's personal life, but I think the leaders of the truth movement need to be examined, and if they're embarrassed to have their lives exposed, maybe there's something wrong. And I'm happy to expose Jeff Rentz.
Well, that's an interesting background.
I'm sorry you had to go through that. You know, and you know what? The worst part about these guys, and I know in particular with Jeff's case, is that he likes to, you know, mudsling. I mean, he sent you videos and photographs that were spread by the counterintelligence propagandists about me, and he doesn't. I mean, he has things in his closet that makes him like, well, why would he even go about doing that? Would he like somebody to do that to him? I'm sure he wouldn't. We all have, you know, things out there. We all have our personal lives, and nobody's perfect. And for somebody to do that to someone is wrong, especially he doesn't know me and you didn't know me. And so he went and he forwarded that. So it gives you a good example of what kind of a person he is, how he can do these kind of things and point the finger at other people. And he himself is not so innocent.
Well,
and
know,
isn't that how it usually is?
You know, I want to just add that I considered myself extremely close with Jeff. I really thought that he was the greatest guy completely. He showed up one night at one of my presentations in Oregon, just surprisingly, and I invited him immediately to introduce me that night. And that in 2009, when we advanced the Concert for the Living Water, it was a major international event, and I had the opportunity to select a half a dozen people to honor for their bravery in advancing very important themes, including the science on the energetics and bioenergetics of natural healing. And I immediately thought of Jeff and, in fact, honored Jeff. I awarded Jeff with a beautiful award during the Concert for Living Water as being a hero. And Jeff and I continued to have a relationship. Long before I met Sherry, I was working with Jeff. In fact, the policy was under which I was operating with Jeff, it was a mutual respect. I was invited by Jeff to send him first. In fact, I made it a point to send him first any new articles, any new research, any new revelations that were important in my work in the realm of infectious diseases and in the malfeasance in government operations through Homeland Security, FEMA, DARPA, whatever CIA operation was ongoing that I was investigating. The first person to receive that information always was Jeff. And Jeff always posted it on Rents.com. And from our relationship in that way, we were both benefited. And most importantly, the people worldwide were benefited. And like Sherry mentioned, what happened to change that shocked me. Because suddenly in 2010, when Sherry began to investigate who was attacking me, that I had completely neglected, and we began to contact Jeff, the relationship started to sour. What ended up happening was that Sherry and I, published a definitive article exposing the COINTELPRO operatives that had infiltrated the American Patriot Movement and representing COINTELPRO. For national security and CIA, the way that propaganda is administered heavily in the United States through mainstream and alternative media is through this organization called COINTELPRO. And the main operatives therein, we found out, were people who were defaming me, defaming Sherry, libeling us on the internet using fake, fraudulent documents such as that false Knights of Malta list that they constructed, where I was placed next to J. Edgar Hoover, who actually created the COINTELPRO. So it was this kind of like totally ironic thing that was happening. And we contacted Jeff. And I expected Jeff, when we published our first article on this, to herald it like normal. Well, it wasn't. It was a complete shutdown. And he basically said, Len, I'm not going here. I'm not going to be involved in this. And like Sherry mentioned, what he said, that he's most interested in the safety of his young daughter. And about, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, he told me that his daughter was about 14 years of age. He was a single dad. He was living in a place where they had a lot of foundation rock problems, and he was under great expense restoring his property. At the same time, he was hit with a $30 million lawsuit. These were the things that he alleged to me, and I simply bought. And maybe, Belinda, tonight you might be able to shed some light on these things, whether they were true or not. But at this point, he said that I'm not going to go and expose Truot and Timothy Patrick White and Zemanski for creating these forged lists and working with Ted Gunderson. He said, I just don't want to go there, and I'm not going there, Len.
Well, he basically talked about a lawsuit with Larry Sinclair regarding Larry Sinclair.
Yes, he did.
And that's why he used that as another excuse.
And so I bought even those excuses. I literally said to myself, well, maybe, I can understand he's a single dad. He doesn't want to get involved. And Sherry and I had many arguments about that. You know, Sherry kept saying, no, there's something more fishy going on with Jeff Rentz than this, Len. That seems to be an excuse. That's really what Sherry was saying. And I was saying, I was defending him even after that.
I said he interviews David Duke. I mean, that should tell you right away, what person would give David Duke a platform like that, and all the time? I mean, the guy's a KKK, fanatic, David Duke is, and meanwhile, he's giving him a platform. And then there was another journalist named Janet Phelan who actually said she spoke with Jeff, and he basically said that Hitler wasn't such a bad guy. So this is a guy that actually doesn't believe probably the Holocaust existed, or maybe Melinda can clarify that, or maybe he doesn't believe in the numbers of the people that died, but regardless of how many people died in the Holocaust, it existed. We both had family that died in the Holocaust. It existed, and many people died. It doesn't matter how many numbers there were.
Truly, does it matter if there was 2 million, 3 million, 6 million, or 12 million, or 13 million? It doesn't matter. The fact is that it happened, and it was hideous, and we don't want to have it repeated. Unfortunately, the KKK and the what's called Christian identity movement has this concept, and it has nothing to do with Christianity. In fact, they call it Christian identity because it's a psyops. I want to identify it with Christianity, but it is completely devoid of love, and it is completely contrary to what Jesus preached. So it has nothing to do with Christianity, and it is a front for this white hate organization that has literally created the anti-Zionist movement in the world, and that they're blaming Jews on everything. Now, Jeff was really into that. That was what he subscribed to
mostly. The Zionist thing, I know.
And I forgave him for that even. You know, I wanted to look beyond that. And it wasn't literally until we received this email and complete lies from a fake Dr. Truot. That name is another psychological operation. He wants you to believe his name is Truot, when it's not. It's Alma Siot, and he has no degrees that are legitimate. He claims to have a PhD and a naturopathic doctor degree, and this is the guy that Jeff was most fearful of. This is what he told me. So these guys were secured by Jeff Rentz's censorship, and I couldn't believe that Jeff was censoring this most important information. And so, you know, my understanding...
And he lied. Jeff lied about the
email. Well, that's what happened. That this email claimed that Jeff hadn't written me the salutation.
He doesn't use the term brother.
Yeah, dear brother. Yes. But, you know, Jeff actually sent me an email that said, dear brother. And he did that, you know, fairly regularly. We had, as I mentioned, a very close relationship. And so the claim was suddenly to defame me, claiming that I didn't know what I was talking about. I was lying about my relationship with Jeff Rentz and this dear brother thing. Truot comes out with this false accusation that I made this whole story up.
You forged up the email.
And yeah, that I allegedly forged it.
Yeah.
And Jeff Rentz literally went along with it. Yeah. Didn't respond to my emails, didn't respond to my telephone calls, and completely went along with COINTELPRO. So that's my story.
That's your friend, right? Who can call that a friend?
It's not just about my friendship. It's not about the violation of my trust. It's about you, the people. It's about what is going on, as Melinda says, what's going on in the Patriot, in the truth-telling movements. Who are our heroes, and what are they really about, and how does it relate, most importantly, to the mind-control psychological operation called COINTELPRO.
Exactly. He's leaving out a big story. Why isn't he telling the people? That's just like the mainstream media does all the time. Leaves out the whole story, doesn't tell you the story, or goes over it, or just maybe says it one time and doesn't repeat it again. Or, you know, they're paid by certain people not to do that. And we had a question about who Jeff was working with.
So, anyway, we've talked enough. And,
anyway,
and
let
our guest, Melinda, please take it from there. And you have an open mic for as long as you want. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I just want to clarify, I've known Jeff for 1 year and 9 months. And even though I am his ex-wife, our relationship is not over. I served him with restraining orders 10 days ago. However, I do still call him about once a day. I talk to him on the phone. And I know him extremely well over the last 1 year and 9 months. And plus, he's told me a lot about his past. So I do know him very well. And in Jeff's case, he's not controlled by anybody, so I don't think he's COINTELPRO, but I'm basically an unemployed academic, so I spent a lot of time reading, trying to understand. I'd never dealt with anybody like this in my life who could be so loving, two-faced, basically, someone so two-faced. I did a lot of reading, and what I found is that Jeff is a textbook. There's two words for it. One is narcissistic personality disorder. Another word is psychopath. They're interchangeable. And the thing about psychopaths, as you are noting, is that they are extremely charming. Ted Bundy was extremely charming. Now, Jeff is not a criminal. There's psychopaths who don't break any laws, but they still hurt people, and they stab people in the back, and they lie like crazy. And Jeff does indeed lie. And the thing he was saying about his daughter was an exaggeration, because she was definitely not 14, and she was is basically an excuse to not support you. Now, so psychopaths are extremely charming. That is why Jeff is so good on the radio, and so many people think he's their best friend. And, you know, there's a growing number of people who've been, like you, been stabbed in the back by Jeff. And that's typical narcissistic personality behavior, is to suddenly cut off relationships very quickly and absolutely completely. And he's done that to a number of people. One of the reasons I came out is because he did that to Henry Mackow. And that one thing led to another, and I ended up coming out on Henry Mackow's page. So they're very charming, but it's a facade. It's a way to manipulate people. And so people think they're really, really great guys and really wonderful. And I thought he was. I mean, this guy completely fooled me to the point where I married him and quit my job and moved cross-country. And then I found that he was a completely different person. And he does not tell the truth. And he's incapable of incredibly cruel acts. And
let me just interject for a second.
Okay.
This narcissistic disorder is something that they have actually pointed me for. They've alleged that against me. Mm. And indeed, and this is what they typically do. Sherry is really an expert at this. You know, it's kind of like this old saying, you know, when you're pointing your finger at somebody, you've always got, you know, the three fingers pointing back, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've claimed that I've got this personality disorder. And one of those things that's important that you mentioned is where they just abruptly cut off relationships. Well, interesting, you know, you shall know them by their fruit. My relationships with my family were not terminated by me. They were terminated by the COINTELPRO and this kind of ideology, this racist ideology that virtually these people brainwashed my ex-wife into believing. And today, I can tell you, I have no family. But, you know, it's the worst thing and the worst pain in my own heart is to have my family devastated by these liars and these cheats and these people who are so outrageous in what they can do. I really can't even relate to these people. Unfortunately, I'm naive in that way, and I was abused for that naivete. And thankfully, I'm with Sherry, and Sherry's really astute in that regard. But it's not what I'm hearing from you is exactly what I was blamed for myself.
Mm-hmm. That's a classic symptom of narcissistic personality disorder, is that they will use projection to a degree that normal people won't. So literally almost everything they accuse you of is really true about themselves. And so that doesn't surprise me. I was accused of all sorts of crazy things. He accused me of being a spy. He accused me of trying to poison him. He was just insane. I left everything, and I was in the house with an insane person who is just horrible to me.
We don't have that in our relationship at all. I mean, we don't accuse each other of being a spy or anything like that.
No, they claim that we're MI6. Yeah. They claim that we're poisoning Alex McGowan Studer, that we call the FBI. Truot says that the FDA, and, you know, this was a Rents-related thing, too, that the FDA, according to Ott, who worked with Jeff Rentz. In fact, Jeff Rentz actually, when I wanted to go on Jeff's new network, after he had the falling out with Alex Jones and the other networks that he was on, mm-hmm. he started his own radio network, invited me, and I accepted the invitation to be a host. Right. And then he literally put me together with Truot to purchase the audio transmitting equipment, the microphones and the transmitters, And I paid for it, and I was really ready to go. But, you know, there was a number of things that came up, thank God, you know, because I didn't participate with Jeff. But these are the same things
and
that you're saying they blame me for.
And who did he have you send it to? He had you send it to, when you didn't want to work with that mic or do that show, he had you send it over to Paul Drockton. And Melinda has an experience with Paul Drockton as well.
Melinda, we have so many notes that compare. So why don't you continue and move through what these issues that we've talked about, including the Alex Jones, the David Icke, and the Paul Drockton, and the Truot connections, if you have any.
Okay, now you've made me think of a lot of things to say. First, I have a funny story that, so I didn't know when I married Jeff that he'd had six other failed marriages before me. That came out much later. But he did tell me about his last girlfriends, and he had me utterly convinced that a girlfriend from 5 years back was MI6. I mean, I believed it, utterly, completely believed it. And then after I came out anonymously on the internet, which I did last February, I was contacted by this girlfriend. She saw my story. And I go, why would an MI6 spy contact me? And then I realized, I think he believed she was MI6. He really believes these crazy things. I mean, in a way. So that's sort of a humor story. So he convinced me one of his last girlfriends was MI6, but she's definitely not. She's a very good friend of mine right now. The connection with David Icke, I found somebody pointed me toward to a story in the Daily Mail that on Pamela Lee Richards and her ex-husband David Icke, and it was written in January 9th, but I discovered it maybe March or April, and I go, oh my goodness, I can relate to this woman. In the story, she says David suspected her of being a shape-shifting alien, and I go, I have to contact this woman. So I contacted Pamela Lee Richards, and we immediately discovered that we were in very, very similar situations, and her ex-husband has very similar behaviors as mine does. So I think this is really important that people wake up to the truth about possible severe deficits of their leaders. I mean, if they can't accept that, so many people, when I speak out, I get a lot of angry responses from his supporters. They hate my guts because they don't want to hear this about Jeff. They want to bury their heads in the sand and pretend he's this really nice guy who's fighting for truth. We've proved that he's actually quite motivated by money. That's his main interest, is earning money, and people don't realize that. They honestly think he's fighting for truth. And, oh, I could just talk forever about Paul Drockton. So one of the – I came out anonymously because I was a physics professor, and because I quit my job to marry Jeff. Jeff was, and I were going to have – I was not going to work outside the home. I was going to be a wife and a partner in his business and have a lovely, happy life. Well, he cut me off financially within 7 weeks of me quitting my job, and I desperately need a new job. So it's important to keep my real name out of this. However, Jeff being he's this bad of a person. This is what people don't understand, is that he appears to be so loving. But when I came out with my story, in order to – he tried to fight me with lawyers, but I wasn't lying. I was telling the truth. I had everything to back up my story. So first he sent his lawyers after me, but it didn't work. And so then he sent Paul Drockton after me, who is a business associate of his. And Paul Drockton bought URLs of my name. My URL is melindajanekellogg.com. That's the one to go to. That's the one, if you Google Jeff Rentz Melinda, you'll be taken to. Paul Drockton bought URLs of my name as well, and he filled them with the most outrageous, vicious libel I've ever seen in my life. And Jeff, you know, Jeff didn't do it directly, but he had his, you know, this is typical of psychopaths as well. They get somebody else to do their dirty work. And Paul Drockton, to me, is just the most viciously disgusting and insane, frightening individual I've ever come across, with absolutely no ethics or morals. Anyway, so Jeff allowed my name to be, not only is my name outed, and that's why I had to come out and make a, I made a website that literally documents my entire life from birth until, through my whole life is on the internet. Fortunately, I have like a pretty squeaky clean life, so I was willing to come out and be, you know, viewed under a microscope, and to prove basically who I am, that I'm just a nice girl, and I have, you can all read that I'm a nice girl and see that a lot of people think I'm a nice person. I'm very successful. I'm listed in Who's Who of American Women, and I'm not a spy. If you can look at my life and find anywhere that I'm a spy, you know, congratulations. So I had to basically come out and expose myself. I now, if I apply for a job, Jeff interfered with me getting a job. This is all on my webpage. I try to get a job. There's very few. I'm a full-time college teaching professor, and there's very few teaching-only jobs because of the economy. And there was one perfect job for me, and I applied for it for last October. Jeff did his best to prevent me from preparing for the job, and he succeeded. I had to cancel the interview, and now, you know, my name's all over the internet with crazy, crazy slander about me. I'll never get a job in physics again. So Jeff was willing to, he'd already destroyed my life, and he didn't care. I had no money. He cut me off financially. I've had need of medical care for the last year and a half that I have not been able to get, because in the United States, I've gone everywhere to try to get free medical care. There's no place for me to get free medical care. Jeff won't pay for it. I'm living on my savings. I'm not going to part with my dwindling savings, which I'm about to run out of. And despite that, Jeff exposed my name and put vicious slander on the internet so that I will never get a job. And yet he still sees me and dates me. It's utterly insane, and it's vicious. And I'll stop there and let you ask more questions.
Well, the number one question that probably everyone wants to know is, why are you still dating him?
Yeah, everyone wants to know. Well, the answer is also on my website. My hope is that he, well, first of all, I would have left immediately. My circumstances were unusual in that I was raised by a single parent who was an alcoholic. I had one sibling, so I didn't really have a good upbringing. And my mom died 10 years ago, and I'm not in touch with my sister. I've been doing high-level physics. I got my PhD from Caltech. I then did a postdoc at MIT. I was really at the top of the top of physics, and that is really, really hard work, and you just spend all your time working. So I wasn't forming relationships. One of the reasons I wanted to get married was I was 47 years old, and I liked teaching, but I really, you know, I was 47 years old, and I wanted to experience marital happiness. And that's one of the reasons I was, you know, willing to give it all up to marry Jeff, is because I did want that in my life. So because the last 15 years I'd been doing heavy-duty, high-level physics, I didn't have any friendships there. So when I moved cross-country, I'd given up my job, and all of a sudden I found myself living with a monster, and I literally had nobody to call. It was awful. I called hotlines. I didn't have a car. I'd sold my car. I couldn't get in a car and drive away, and I was stuck. So I was stuck there, and that's been a huge problem for why didn't I just leave town? I had nowhere to go, and I was utterly devastated psychologically. I just cried and cried. He kicked me out of his home after 7 weeks and cut me off financially, and I just would cry. I didn't know what to do. I just was a mess, and yet he wouldn't leave me alone. He would email and email and email. And if I didn't answer his email, he would threaten to send the cops over to my house. And then I'd say, no, don't send the cops. And then he'd say, you know, he'd say, I didn't email correctly. Now he's more concerned about me. He's going to send the cops. And I finally, eventually, got the nerve to go down to the police station and say, my ex-husband keeps threatening to send the police over. You know, so partly, I wouldn't be here, except my situation was such I had nowhere to go, and I was stuck. And one thing about these people, and he's just textbook narcissistic personality disorder. They do two things. One, they'll cut you off completely if they can replace you. But I think because I'm harder to replace, they won't let you go. I mean, this guy, I've tried to break up with this guy 100 times. I've been seeing a domestic abuse counselor for over a year, and she knows how hard I've tried to break up with him, but she also understands how, I mean, I served him with restraining orders 10 days ago because he keeps coming over to my apartment. And yet he tells other people I'm a stalker. That was one of the things Paul Drochten lied about. He said I was a stalker, which is just so laughable because it's the other way around. I have 3 police orders against this guy. I just served restraining orders on him 10 days ago. They were served in front of my apartment because he'd come over uninvited. And I have the police reports and the documentation for all of this on my internet. So everything is documented. Everything I say is documented. Anyone who really wants to open their eyes and see the truth, you know, can go to my website and see. So it's, why do I not break up with him? It's because, A, I had nowhere to go, so I was really stuck. I was very vulnerable. He will not let me go. And when he's loving, he's sort of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And when he's Dr. Jekyll, there's a lot of hope that maybe he can, you know, shed off his personality problem and actually be a halfway decent person. And so there's the hope, you know, that keeps me kind of in there as well.
You know, let me just interject this. Way in which they flipped the truth on you is the same exact thing that they've done with our litigation. If you read the complaint and you read all of the exhibits, you really go through
the people.
Yeah, you can go to waronwethepeople.com and see a lot of the COINTELPRO publications that we've done to expose them. But in our legal case, in both Idaho, we have 2 of them, one going on in Idaho, one going on in Hawaii. And the filings that we have in Hawaii are online at healthyworldstore.com in the ebook section there. But the Idaho filings are very interesting because what you said just now that they've done with you is exactly what they did with my complaint. I laid out all of the causes of action. I laid out all of the documented evidence that proves, I mean, slam dunks in your face. Here's a prima facie proof of what I'm saying. And what they did with zero evidence whatsoever is every single allegation that I came at them with a proof, they came back at me in legal filings claiming the same things against me. But again, it's going to have to go to court. And when it gets to court, then we'll be able to slam dunk them with the evidence.
COINTELPRO haven't responded to any of the legal complaints. The ones in Idaho.
No, you haven't read that. You haven't read the one in Idaho with my filing against my ex-wife, Jacqueline Lindenbaum.
Yeah, she did.
And that's the one I'm referring to.
Okay, because that's not the counterintelligence. That's just like
brainwashing her. Well, what's Truot? Is Truot counterintelligence?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so it's the same game. I am totally convinced that my ex-wife, who knows nothing about law, who wouldn't have the foggiest idea how to respond to a criminal or legal, tortuous civil complaint.
And do these malicious acts.
And then on top of that, do this kind of flipping of the documented evidence. There's got to be somebody coaching her to do that. And it's clear that she's been complicit all along with libeling Sherry and myself with Truot and Company. And again, these are the people that Jeff Rentz knew a lot about, didn't want to touch, didn't want to go along with in terms of exposing them, going along with me to expose these folks.
Well, a good example of what she did in that case was when you asked for a TRO where you wanted to get the database that she had stolen with all the customers in it that she had just taken, and you wanted to get it back. Instead of giving it back, what she did was she presented photographs of me when I was in my early 20s.
Stolen photographs.
That she had stolen out of my personal bag, and also pages out of my diary when I was in my early 20s, where I was also in an abusive relationship when I was in my early 20s. And I had documented it in my diary. She took pages out of that. She took parts of my pictures of me from Halloween, from different Halloweens when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and she presented that in the discovery in response to us requesting to get this TRO. So it was a total violation as well. And that's part of what I believe Truot was behind her in manipulating her to do that. And like you mentioned, Paul dropped in, Melinda, Truot, when you mentioned him, it sounded exactly like my description of Truot. He's the most evilest man and the most sinister man. We had Jane Burgermeister on our show, and she basically told everybody the same thing about Truot. She's like, this man is the most evilest man. She went on his show, was interviewed by him. She thought he was a good guy, and he started to recite the satanic verses out of the satanic Bible. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, and that segment, by the way, for anybody that's interested in watching it, it's up on Vimeo on Revolution Television, which is our new channel on Vimeo.com. And that's an alternative to YouTube. And we're advancing that now, and we're looking for as many alternatives to Google YouTube commercialization as possible. Anything that you can, any kind of business that you need, from search engines to video broadcasting, think of using alternatives than these very, very corrupt companies. And you can learn a lot about these corrupt companies and their involvement in these crimes against us by going to waronwethepeople.com. Well, Linda, go ahead. Why don't you share a little bit more? What about, what's your knowledge with, I guess, David Icke? Yeah, hasn't been definitively covered yet.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm in touch with Pamela Lee Richards, and she's in a similar position as I, where we want to speak out about these men, but their fans are so adoring that they basically lash out at us and hate us for it. And in fact, one of the reasons I agreed to do your radio program is because I heard Pamela doing a radio program in which she was basically ambushed. And I was so angry that that was happening to her and no one was believing her, that I go, I'm going to speak up too, because if you can ignore one woman, but you can't ignore two. And in my case, I literally have six ex-wives who, I mean, every ex-wife, has a very negative story about Jeff. And there's a whole story about how did I track down the ex-wives. I mean, this is a very long story. But I want to say about Paul Drockton, because I guess you had the same thing with Truot. It's really disgusting how easily people can defame you on the internet and get away with it, and what they can say and use, and, your private photos. And in my case, fortunately, I don't have any photos like that. That's one of the reasons I'm willing to stand up, is because I do have a pretty squeaky clean history, but that's really sad that the only reason I can stand up is because I'm willing to be absolutely examined under a microscope and assaulted, and all sorts of horrible things happened to me. But in Utah, where Paul Drockton lives, defamation is actually a crime. It's a criminal offense. And so I've contacted the police department in his town. Fortunately, I know his address. And they actually went to him and said, you know, you're committing defamation. And he said, well, I think I'm telling the truth. And this is how evil Paul Drockton is. He's not afraid of the cops. You know, the cops came to his house, and in response, he did more defamation. He upped his defamation on me. And I've since sent the police. What they need is evidence that he knows he's telling lies. I went and got them some evidence. It's all on my website. I have this habit of taping Jeff when he's over, and it's legal in Oregon, which is where we live. It's a one-party consent state, so it's legal for me to tape him without his knowledge. And I started doing this because he would lie so much about me. He would lie to the police about me, and I started taping him in case I ever needed proof. This was long before I came out. Now I tape him regularly, and I don't know why he still lets me. He must know I do it. But anyway, I basically taped him admitting that Paul knew that we were involved romantically, and Paul was claiming I was a stalker and that we'd broken up a year ago. So, and I sent this evidence to the police department, and, you know, yet I'm still having to push them. I'm having to call them up and going, will you please prosecute this case? I mean, he's breaking a law, and it's just so hard to even get anyone to care. And if they're in a state where there's no law, you know, you have to have a lot of money to sue them, and good luck. But it's really disgusting how easily someone can completely ruin your reputation, especially in my case. I've worked so hard my whole life to have a good reputation, and then Paul Drockton gets to smear me, and then it's over.
Well, Melinda, I have to tell you that Truat is a national security agent, COINTELPRO provocateur. I mean, he works for the government. We are not the only ones that came to that conclusion. He works as a counterintelligence propagandist, and I believe that Paul Drockton does as well. And we believe that Jeff knows all about it. We believe that Jeff is a clearinghouse for these guys. From all the research that I've done, and I've done extensive amounts of research to find out why these people would come out and start attacking me, who they don't even know, and Len, who they don't even know personally, why they would do that. And the only conclusion we came to was the fact that we were touching on a lot of things. Like Len has been touching on anti-vaccinations for a long time, which Big Pharma was definitely pissed off about. Also, he's promoting peace in Love the Real Da Vinci Code. He's promoting peace. He's promoting the solutions through communications, through peace, through communications.
Natural medicines.
And so that's really anti-war. And anytime you promote anti-war, like John Lennon did and Martin Luther King Jr. did, anybody that ever did this in history has always been attacked by the counterintelligence propagandists. The same organization that attacked MLK and JFK, RFK, anybody that went against them, are the same organization coming after us. And that's why Jeff is really scared. That's why the police probably won't do too much about it. All he needs to do is, when they go there, flash a badge. We went to the FBI on this, Melinda.
Yeah,
they're
FBI
well aware.
They're well aware
that these guys work with them. They said it's not our department. We don't work in that department. And it's part of the shadow government. A lot of people don't realize that this exists. This is all part of it. Right now we have a lawsuit against Google because Google won't remove it. Google's actually working. We believe them to be working on a get out of jail card free. Basically, they were involved in a Canadian pharmacy scam selling prescription drugs and selling them over the internet to Americans. And Google was helping promote that and complicit in the crime. And this is drug trafficking. This would involve organized crime, racketeering, money laundering. And so Google paid a $500 million fine. This is about 6 months ago. We believe that Google then settled and now is working with the government. And that is why Google will not remove our defamation
libel against us.
And basically they say, well, we don't know if it's defamation. Anybody can see that the video doesn't concern any of the people posting it. It's my private life. It has nothing, and Len's private life, has nothing to do with any of those people. And so they made it their business. Anybody that makes your business theirs to smear you is committing defamation. Anybody that calls you an Edomite, a spawn of Satan, a Khazar, because you're Jewish, that's defamation. And it's also part of a hate crime. And so Google is refusing. If you go onto my blog at sherrykane.com, I have the whole story on there about what went down. I also have an article written too. Actually, Google Exposed is one of the links on sherrykane.com. And then if you look under my blog section, I have another Google Exposed link that will explain the story on a personal level. And there's also the recordings that we did. We recorded Google's lawyers in the conversation and basically them telling us they're not removing it. We need to get a court order. What they're asking for is a court order for every single link. And
yeah, because we already have a court order. They asked for a court order. We gave them a temporary restraining order from the court.
Right.
Well, that's now, suddenly now, that's no good. We need to give them every single link another court order.
To prove.
Excuse me. This is absolutely a violation of what's called 47 U.S.C. Section 230C. It's called the Good Samaritan Act. They have a duty, a good faith duty from Congress to eliminate obscene, lascivious, harassing, defamatory material that serves no other purpose but to do exactly what you said, Melinda, that is to destroy somebody's reputation. This is exactly what they're doing. Google's complicit, and this is exactly what the COINTELPRO, with Jeff Rentz's support, actually have done to me. They've destroyed my family. They've destroyed my businesses. They've destroyed largely my reputation in the Patriot movement, in the Christian movements, in the truth-telling movements, everybody. I mean, when you talk about not being able to get a job now in your chosen field for this reason, same thing. In my case, it's where you can't even get manufacturers to go along with some of the ideas that I have to develop new products. Because what it's called in law, it's called a infringement on your professional relationships. And it's a intentional, malicious act to undermine those relationships or prospective business contacts. That's what they've done. And it is, by the way, a tortuous activity. And you can hold Jeff totally financially accountable for all of your losses.
And another thing is, like you mentioned, about having a squeaky clean black background. Well, what's interesting is that Len had a squeaky clean. I do, too,
perfectly.
Really. I mean, I just have some photographs.
I mean, the worst thing that they can say about us is that Sherry has some Halloween pictures that they stole and that we got involved in a fight over shooting a pig on Christmas Day 2010. I mean, ridiculous stuff, but they'll use anything and everything if you're targeted for discrediting. That's what they'll do.
And
that's earmark COINTELPRO.
And they'll also create stuff. Like, before they had the video of us arguing, they created this video. They called it the sex tape. And they had pictures, photographs, still photographs of us that they got off of Facebook or wherever, and put the photographs into this video, and then had this woman who sounded like Tammy Faye Baker with this high-pitched Southern accent saying, you know, oh, whip me, spank me, or whatever to the man. It was like supposed to be some S&M, and the guy is supposed to be like the dominant guy over the woman, and then they're supposed to be like ordering room service, and it was supposed to be me and Len on this show, and somebody
on BDS Radio.
Where we don't even have anybody cutting through a woman. A woman gets on and says, excuse me, you can't be having sex on the air here. I mean, it was so obviously staged.
But
it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. But to go even further than that, to show you how absolutely outrageous these liars can be in defaming you, even if you're squeaky clean.
That was with the squeaky clean background. That's what Len got. They created this tape.
But even if you have a squeaky clean, what about this Looney Tune Ed Chiarini? What has he done with my reputation? Who does he claim that I am?
Ed Chiarini, actually, he says that people are other people. They're really actors. And he says that Len is really John Walsh from America's Most Wanted.
Yeah, I'll pull off my face now and suddenly transform into a celebrity star.
You don't look
star.
Like John Walsh. I mean,
it's like ridiculous.
And then he said I'm like some soap opera actress. He compared me to. He said I'm really her. And he said that our son is Michael Vara, who's my age, who has a radio show. He's really John Walsh's son, who was murdered and and kidnapped. That's really his son. He really didn't get murdered or kidnapped. It's really Michael Vare. That's what Ed Schirini puts out there.
And people believe this
insanity. Yeah, they follow him.
And just like you, where you suddenly now you go on a show or Pamela goes on a show to tell the truth, what happens is you get all these morons, they call them internet trolls, who post all of this harassing material, additional libel, and on radio shows they have these lunatics calling.
It sounds like she was set up. It does. It sounds like she was
sounds like set up.
You know, Melinda, if Pamela wants to come on our show, you just let me know. Just give her my contact information.
Great. I will.
Nobody's going to ambush her here. She can tell her story. You know, the thing is, I am really, really against abuse, and I'm especially against women and children. I mean, anybody that harms women and children, to me, that's why I've been my passion, is really to fight for their rights. And because I was a victim as a child of abuse, and I was a victim in a relationship. My first marriage actually was a very, very, like, turbulent one, and I was a victim of abuse, and I know what it is like to be in that situation where this person can be really, really nice one second and then turn on you, and you don't know which person you're going to get at that moment. Mm-hmm. But when they're nice, they're super nice. I mean, mm-hmm. super, super nice. And you want them to always be like that. They'll pamper mm-hmm. you. Then on the other side, they have another personality, and it can be emotional, it could be physical, but it's abusive. And that's what happened to me as well. So I know what it's like. The best thing that you can do in that situation is just cut it off. And what I did is I fled. I mean, I just changed where I live. I borrowed money and I just fled the scene. And I just never looked back again, because I realized that it wasn't going to ever change. That this person, it wasn't me. It was this person who had issues, and they had to change. They needed help. And as long as they weren't going to get help, it was just going to continue to be this turbulent relationship. And I think that, you know, I mean, Len and I have had arguments, but nothing like I've ever had with my, you know, first husband. And
we still love each other when we fight. You know?
I mean, we didn't fight like that. It was just like this fight of like violence. And it was just really, really hard. And I was stuck in it. And I know what it is like to be there. But you are.
I think that. Yeah. It makes most sense that the people who are like that, people who become violent and engage in this hideous atrocity,
they were abused.
The pedophiles were literally abused themselves. And that is the most hideous thing. That's why I applaud and honor what Sherry does, as her passion is to protect and defend women and children against these kinds
of
abuses. And animals too. But there we have a little bit of a difference. But the fact of the matter is, she's protecting people against the most hideous atrocity that could be inflicted upon another human being. Because if you violate a child, what you do is you violate the full life of that child, the sexuality, the intimacy, the potential for having relationships. And that is the most despicable thing. You know, Sherry says that these people should be castrated. I think worse. I think they should be all hung.
I think, Melinda, you're a beautiful woman. You're so intelligent, and that any man that has you in their life should totally be so happy and just say, thank you, God, for bringing this wonderful person in my life. And that's the way every woman should feel in their heart. They should, you know, they should have that, you know, feeling to know that they are special, that they're unique, and that God loves them so much. And once you know that, you don't let any of these men get away with what they try to get away with, because they will. So many men will try and do that to you if you let them. If you give them a little inch, they're going to see, well, I can just... And even in your situation, there's women that have done that to you. There's even men out there that have been abused.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Abuse can be done by anybody who's abused. I mean, that's part of what the neuroses and the psychopathology is. You actually have a repeat pattern. This is exactly why serial killers kill, because they all kill for the sake of power, control, and revenge, because they were abused and they lost the power and they were basically tortured or they were sexually abused. And in losing that power, then they have to over and over again try to replay to regain the power. And this is in form of therapy for themselves, but they never can regain it because their neurology is switched and they really need some intense therapy. If not, you know, I don't necessarily believe in medication, but the reality is these people need a lot of help.
Exactly. But, you know,
Carrie, I want to interrupt because, you know, when you were describing your relationship, it's like, oh, some only women who've been there understand. It's so hard for me to explain what it was like. But you just explained it so well. It's so confusing. They're so wonderful, and then they're so awful, and you just want the wonderful man to stick around. And that's why it was so wonderful to connect with Pamela. You know, just any woman who's been there and understands it, it just feels so good. And I also want to say I'm a vegetarian, and so I understand the animal thing with you. And one of the reasons I was really interested in Jeff is because he was a vegan. It's like, you know, where do you find a vegan man?
Yeah.
I also wanted to say it's called Intentional Interference with Prospective Economic Advantage. I've been well aware of that for over a year now. There's four suits I could file against Jeff. Breach of contract. I mean, the guy promised to take care of me for the rest of my life financially. I quit my job, and then he changes his mind. Intentional interference with prospective economic advantage. He did that when he interfered with my job interview, which I have evidence that he interfered with, and he obviously is doing it with the Internet defamation. And there's a couple others. I went to every lawyer in this county, and not one of them would take my case. So it's very frustrating how I can't, you know, people think I can do all these things, but I can't, and I've tried. I can't find a lawyer who will take my case.
Finally,
I have to say, I know you're not going to like this, but I was with Jeff, 24/7 for a while there. He's not working for anybody, not even like subconsciously. There's nobody, he's not taking anyone's phone calls, he's not being tapped. His role in this, I don't know about Paul, I certainly don't know anything about Truot, and I'll presume you're correct, and I certainly do know there is organized groups out there, and I Google is terrible. They won't take anything off their internet. Paul Drockton put up a Google blog spot, I cannot get it down, whereas other things I can get down, but Google won't take anything down. But Jeff, he's got a lot of flaws, believe me. But I've been with him 24/7. He's in his own little world, and his logic for why he does what he does is his own kind of odd logic. Like why he didn't get involved with I heard about the two of you a long time ago, and before I came out, and you know, in his mind, to be honest, is he was scared. I don't want to say scared, but he didn't want to get involved with two people warring against each other, especially because both of them were people he used to have on. And I know I used to listen to you, Len, on his programs. I thought you were a wonderful guest, and I know he's very close to you. I think he's closer to you than True, so he sort of leaned towards you. But I know that was just his personal decision. He's not part of COINTELPRO, and there's just no indication of it. And so I think he honestly didn't want to get involved, and I think he made excuses for that because he just wanted to stay out of it. I think right now he's more on your side. That's my understanding, is he sort of took your side a bit, and I don't think he's in a relationship with Truot anymore. But, yeah, I really want to say that Jeff he works alone. It's just Jeff.
Yeah. Well, let us respond to some of that because, again, you only knew Jeff for a year and a half. I've known him far longer than that. Also, there's nothing that would explain the fact that, for example, he put me together with Truot to get the technology to be a broadcaster, a regular broadcaster on his network. Okay, so the media is absolutely involved, particularly the alternative media, in this thing called PatCon or the Patriot Movement Con of COINTELPRO. And that Jeff knows that, absolutely. And he knows enough about Szymanski and Truot.
And Timothy Patrick
and
White.
Timothy Patrick White.
He's dangerous. That's what he
knew about these guys.
Yeah,
he knew that they're quote-unquote dangerous, is what he said.
I have an email that actually he says that. He sent me very nice emails while he was talking bad about me behind my back.
Right, so I can say...
Yeah, he does that to me a lot.
And say that, you know what, you're absolutely right. I got a sense, and I bought it hook, line, and sinker. And I fought with Sherry about it, trying to protect Jeff, giving him the benefit of the doubt, saying, no, it's simple fear, and you don't want to push him because, you know, he's got a daughter, and he's just, there's a bigger picture here. Because Jeff, again, he has the anti-Zionistic, pro-white supremacist genre of
programming.
Yes, David
Duke on his site every
That's
day.
His assignment.
Yeah.
On top of that, he's been working with Truat for a long time. On top of that, he knows more intelligence about these people than any one of us.
Yeah, and the reason why he didn't want to break his relationship up with Paul Drofton is because he knows Paul's one of them too. He has some understanding with them. They have some agreement. He's like their clearinghouse. I'm not saying that he's a government agent, but he works with them because he worked with Truat.
He's
absolutely
complicit with
COINTELPRO. And nobody works with Truat for very long unless you're one of them. There's nobody that will work with him unless you're part of the agenda, whatever it is they're trying to do. And
can you tell me, honestly, he went up against Alex Jones. Okay, that's a big name in the industry. You don't go up against Alex Jones if you're afraid. But he wouldn't go up against Truat? Excuse me, what's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, really.
So first of all, he is currently getting rid of Paul Drofton. So he's in the process of getting Paul Drofton. Paul Drofton has submitted his resignation. Jeff is going to help Paul find another radio network to take him. As long as Paul removes his Google blog spot and gets rid of one of my URLs completely off the internet, and then he'll help him. So he is, Paul has resigned. So he is cutting Paul off. Secondly is, you've known Jeff longer, but I've known him 24/7. And what a lot of people don't realize is Jeff is a one-person operation. He has a webmaster somewhere out, I don't know, Midwest or East Coast. But otherwise, Jeff literally, he does everything. He sits there and copies and pastes links and collects stories. He just sits in front of that computer and does a lot of work. And then every night he does 3 hours of radio. He books all of his own guests. He has a supplement business. He packages up the supplements and takes them to the post office. And he doesn't have time to really deeply know anything about Truat or know anything. He just does so much of this grunt work every day. That was a problem. He ignored me. He just sat in front of his computer and ignored me all day. I don't think he's knowingly in. And why did he get in and out with Alex Jones? That's his personality disorder. He gets upset and he gets mad and he cuts people off. And, I have him talking on tape. You go to my website. There's all sorts of audios of Jeff if you want to hear him talk about Mark Glenn and Alex Jones. But what I see, and obviously I'm willing to tell all, what I see is that I see no evidence of him being controlled. I just see a personality disorder, a severe one.
What did Jeff tell you about me? Because he was sending me really nice emails, but now behind my back he was speaking badly about me. So what did he tell you about me? I know he said some things.
Okay, so, well, first of all, I think when I first learned about... First of all, he does send extremely charming emails, and they're always fake in a way. Charm is what he does. So a lot of people have lots of charming, sweet emails from him, and doesn't mean he's not writing bad emails behind your back. I do believe he actually took your guys' side initially. But the problem, now one thing about Jeff is he's easily influenced by others. And I believe other people were starting to really pressure him. In fact, in that way, he can be used by people because he's so easily influenced, even though he's not consciously part of anything. So I believe a lot of people were pressuring him with sending a lot of emails and trashing you guys. And so he gets all these emails trashing you guys, and so he starts to think badly. And indeed, he told me, I asked briefly about it, and he told me what I told you in email, that, you know, you stole Len away from his wife, and, you know, you weren't a very nice girl. And then I talked to you, and you seemed like a nice girl to me, and you told me that wasn't true. But he doesn't, you have to understand, he really, really is quite busy with a lot of grunt work. And he, honest to God, doesn't spend a lot of time thinking deeply about these things, which is another reason why he probably didn't want to get involved.
Where did he get the information that I stole Len from his wife? Where did that come from?
I'm sorry, I don't know who. I just know people emailed him stuff. People who are opposed to you started sending stuff to him, and I honestly don't know. I think I forwarded you the email I had, and I think he deleted or erased the sender's so I don't know who sent it.
Linda, yeah. I have the person who sent the email out. It was Truot who was involved. Alex McGowan, Studer, and Truot sent that email out that Jeff sent to you. So
yeah,
what he,
okay, then, yeah, so
Truot.
Jeff should block Truot's email. That's what I think.
Right, but again, it's kind of like, it's not really suddenly that he would take on the sensitivity pro Truot and company. This is a relationship that they had and a fear that Jeff has had of that group for a long time. Oh yeah, so what?
Well, I know he doesn't publish Truot anymore, and I know he hasn't had him on his program for a very long time. I don't think he's a friend of Truot.
Well, actually,
I can ask him. I'll call him tonight.
Agent for Truot, when Truot had a broadcasting system for sale for Jeff Rentz's network, Jeff got me in touch with Truot to purchase that, and I did. So this.
Well, I think that's just a practical thing, because I know when he gets new radio hosts, there's always this big deal about getting them a blue box, and sometimes he has to lend them his, and sometimes they don't pay for it. I think that was just practical. I don't think there's anything. I think it was coincidental. Although I know if you get too many coincidences, you start to question them. But
Melinda, he wrote me an email and said that there was no conspiracy that Truot didn't like. He told me he liked Truot in his email.
Jeff knows Truot.
Are you sure? Because last I knew, he took your guys' side. He was on your guys' side, but he was not actively
involved.
Yeah,
look what he said. Look what he said about me.
Which was untrue. By the way, Sherry and I started a relationship initially in business strictly in 2009. And in 2009, I had already been separated from Jackie for over a year and was applauding the fact that she was dating guys, and I was hoping that she would be happy because I wanted her to be happy, not only financially but socially. And I was applauding it. I was working with my children. My children were trying to dress her up and have her do her hair. And, you know, we were really in favor of her finding her love. And that, again, was not my naive relationship. I thought that would be fine. We could continue that way in business partnership, and she would have another husband eventually. Well, the lie came about in 2011. When they started to attack us and destroy our businesses, courtesy of Truot and company that had actually infiltrated my wife's brain.
Ex-wife.
My ex-wife's brain. They got to her brain, and she's not operating with all of the marbles. It's obvious. All you have to do to discern that is look at the laundry list of crimes she has committed complicit with Truot and the COINTELPRO, Timothy Patrick White, a predicate felon who's intimately connected to Ted Gunderson.
Who got busted when he was dressed in drag. While he was dressed in drag, he had child pornography all over a warehouse. He got busted for drugs. That's the kind of people that Truot's hanging out with, and that's the kind of people that she's hanging out with, and they're calling me names. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And you'll never get me to believe, based on the emails that we received, the communications that Jeff sent us, and the fact that he is in the intelligence industry, in the truth-telling movement, engaging all of this information and counterintelligence information, that he was able to advise us as he did and actually be agenting for Truot, particularly communications equipment, and knows these guys intimately, so much so that he was afraid to do what his professional calling is and that he's respected for, which is being out there in the face of death even and telling the truth.
Well, first of all, I'm so sorry this is happening to you. It's just awful. Second, I agree that, well, Jeff is a fraud in the sense that he's supposed to be this brave guy telling the truth. And my estimation is he's more interested in personal financial gain. But, you know, I will call Jeff. He gets off the air. Well, he's off the air now. So when we finish, I'll call him tonight. He won't know yet that I was on your program. He'll be mad when he finds that out. And I will ask him about Truot, and I will email you and tell you everything I find out, because I think it's important to get to the bottom of this. So
yeah.
I'll call, and I'll just let you know everything I find out.
You know, the other thing is, I just want you to know this, and this is true for everybody out there listening. Last week, we interviewed Jane Burgermeister, and it just went up on Vimeo. And it's a wonderful, wonderful contribution, and it is actually a tribute to the fact that we in the truth-telling movement have been devastated personally as well as financially by COINTELPRO operatives, including Truod and Company. And for the first time in 2 years, Jane and I, who had not been speaking because we were basically victimized.
You were pinned against each other.
We were pinned against each other by these guys and their lies.
Right.
And so we had no relationship. Well, we just mended our relationship. And when we, you know, sat down and started to talk about this on the air last week, suddenly you realize, holy smoke, this is what went down. It's really important to have these kinds of communications where you can come to terms with reality.
I think truth and reality are really important, and I'm standing up here trying to get truth and reality out there.
Yeah. So at any rate, if you can get from Jeff a open written or videotaped apology.
Well, I won't go that far. I'll just call him up and ask what he knows, and I'll email you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I won't hold my breath.
Definitely. And I have to tell you that, you know, there was... When I went to ask friends, people that were like friends with Jeff as well, I went to ask them like why he would go and do what he did as far as forwarding those videos and photographs of me that the COINTELPRO were putting out to you. Basically, they said that you had asked him for it. So, and I don't believe that. And I don't believe you knew anything about it. And why would you even care? Because you didn't even know me. So,
Said I had asked him for it.
He said it.
You talked to Jeff?
To you because you asked him for them.
Okay. Well, we had talked about them, and he told me about them, and I wanted to see them. Yeah, he didn't just forward it for no reason. We had talked about it, and I said, well, let me see. And so he forwarded it, yes. But
okay.
He talked to me about it first. Because I know, you know, I'm not part of this scene, so I barely know who Sherry Kane and Len Horowitz are, except I used to listen to Len, used to be a regular on Jeff's program, and I started to listen in 2008, so I knew a little bit about you, and Jeff had mentioned the whole Truot thing, I don't know, when did it start, 6-8 months ago or 12 months ago, and, you know, so I'm not really into this whole scene. I'm mostly into just telling the truth about Jeff and domestic abuse and how nobody cares about domestic abuse. It's amazing how many people I have emailed, and literally 95% of Jeff's guests and columnists know about me, and three of Jeff's ex-wives have also come out publicly talking about his abusiveness. And despite that, they all come on his program again, except for there's a couple people who stopped. But most people just don't care. It's like, my God, this guy has seven ex-wives. Seven, and they all are claiming abuse because believe me, they all were abused, and I could only get three to come out publicly, but that's a lot of women to come out publicly against one guy, four including me, and nobody cares. It's like, oh, you know, he literally, Jeff destroyed my life. I'm a good girl. I'm a nice woman, and he literally destroyed my life. Nobody cares. Oh, well, destroyed one woman's life. Who cares? You know, it's just like, wow, okay. I'm amazed at how nobody cares.
Well, believe it or not, I'm a good girl too. I'm not a bad person either, and they've destroyed my life as well. So I can totally understand that.
That's their game. You know, that's both a sick pathology, but a professional, I guess, quality that they hold is the capacity to destroy somebody's life without thinking twice.
Yeah, that's called a psychopath, and psychopaths are individuals such as Jeff. But they're also the people who are in control and destroying the world. They're all psychopaths. So it's really important for people to learn about psychopaths, because I certainly didn't know. I was blindsided. I didn't know in a million years a person could behave the way Jeff did, could seem so wonderful and charming and yet be so viciously destructive and cruel and have literally no empathy for what he's done or feel any remorse. And I've learned a lot about psychopaths. There's this really great video series on YouTube done by Thomas Sheridan called Labyrinth of a Psychopath, and it's a 10 YouTube series, and he just nails it. And the second, if you make it to the second YouTube, he says how incredibly charming they are. They use flattery to manipulate people. And boy, is Jeff good at flattery. You know, you should hear him introduce his guests. He's a master at flattery. Well, that's a sign of a psychopath, and people don't realize it. And people think all these people are so nice. And if someone is really, really nice, that should actually be a red flag. I didn't know that. I learned the hard way. But I think it's really important that people learn about psychopaths. And also, with you, the two of you and me and Jeff, I really hope you and I remain open. I don't want any of us going behind each other's back. And let's be really open with each other. I'll be honest with you guys. I'll talk to Jeff. I'll tell you what he says. Don't feel like I'm, you know, you don't need to go behind my back. I want to be really open with you. I just want the truth to come out. And I want to help you guys. It sounds like, you know, terrible things are happening to you. And well, I'll just get what information I can from Jeff and let you know.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we really appreciate all the help we can get at this point. And actually, it's a great benefit to, you know, have you collaborating with us and sharing the sad realities, because it is an issue of psychopathology that affects us socially, and we are in this together. And even if people haven't been directly damaged like you have, like we have, it still affects them, because it really fills the entire community with this deception and illusion and this horrible, untrustworthy aura about everything that's going on in our genre of care. You know, what we're, our duty, our calling is to go out there, be truth tellers and be people who are trying to protect public health. And yet this defamation is seeding what's called controlled opposition. It's all a mind control. It's all a psychological operation. And literally, like you're saying, to be conducting it, you got to be a psychopath.
Yes.
Yeah. Being totally deranged, because it flies in the face of human values of loving and caring and sharing with others and having empathy for the damage that you do and being apologetic. Where's the capacity to forgive if you keep harming people, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show, Melinda, and thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you very much for having me on. Thank you so much.
Give everyone some information again about how they can contact you or websites where you have your information posted.
Yeah, so I have everything you ever wanted to know about me and Jeff at melindajanekellogg.com, all one word. You can also find it by Googling Jeff Rentz Melinda, and my website will come up.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everybody out there, for listening.
Yeah, thanks. We've had an extended program. We began a little late, but this is a lengthy special of the Insight Hour. And I want to thank our sponsors again. If you want to support what we do in the world, just buy a book or a tape or a CD or a healthcare product from Healthy World Store. We've got fantastic offerings. And listen to 528radio.com for medicinal music, for a real blessing. And then make a donation of some of your own music on 528records.com. It goes into the public library. The musicians, they can then sign up to receive 60% royalties on any donations made for that music. And that's a great blessing for everybody, particularly in a depressed music industry and the economy. And so we're advancing some wonderful things. 528, folks, is the frequency of love. It's the pure tone of love, the universal healer. And if we're ever going to have loving healing taking place globally, we need to dance and sing to a different tune. And that's what we're doing with 528records.com, 528radio.com, and just the whole 528 love revolution. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Thank you, Melinda, for joining us. And thanks to bbsradio.com, the Newsom family, and Seth in engineering. Thank you, guys. We love you. Talk to you next week again, same time, 9 o'clock Pacific on the Insight Hour.
God bless. Good night.